Hi, I'm Clarice Larson, and you're listening to KTOO. Celebration, the huge every other year gathering of indigenous people in Southeast Alaska, is just around the corner. Kasan, a village of 30 people on Prince of Wales Island, planned to arrive by canoe. A group of paddlers were set out on a 10-day, over 250-mile journey to Juneau, in canoes they carved by themselves, making stops in communities like Wrangell and Petersburg along the way. KRBD's Jack Darrell caught up with an artist in the town's carving shed as he made paddles for the journey.
Eric Hammer is a Haida carver and artist. Day to day, he works in Kasan's carving shed. The workshop smells like cedar, and Hammer is surrounded by canoes, paddles, tools, and a half-carved totem pole. He's really busy getting ready for the four-day celebration, but maybe not in the same way that other people are. Hammer is sanding paddles.
Anybody listening to that sound on the radio is going to know it's not sharp.
Yeah.
Well, they do this. Planes are kind of interesting because they'll chirp. But when they're really sharp and you run down a piece of wood, it chirps like a bird. Yeah, which this one is not doing. So.
Hammer is hand planing each paddle, but he says paddles aren't necessarily his favorite thing to work on.
I don't mind doing them. I like three-dimensional stuff a lot more. It's just more exciting for me as an artist, but yeah, I don't know. There's something beautiful about the, you know, simplistic nature of something like a paddle as well.
There's also a large totem pole sitting on sawhorses in the corner. He's been working on that for about a year. Across the room, there's a stack of rough pieces of wood carved into paddle shape, waiting to be planed and sanded.
It's pretty exciting to be going on this journey, you know, for the first time in our own canoes from our own community and meeting up with a lot of other communities on the way. Hopefully, I think it'll bring a lot of inspiration to people and hopefully get some folks excited about, you know, maintaining the traditions, things like that.
Currently, there will be 26 people in three canoes. The group is all ages.
We got some folks, well, the youngest will be 6 months, because that's my baby.
Hammer's whole family will be joining him on the voyage. His mom and dad, sister and brother-in-law, and his wife and two daughters. One almost 6 years old and the other 6 months old. To bolster the group, Hammer says some paddlers will be coming from other communities all over Southeast Alaska, a couple as far away as Seattle. He says they plan to make stops in Thorne Bay, Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, Petersburg, and then camp the rest of the way up the coast to Juneau. Hammer says it's a long and difficult process making a canoe. In his 20 years carving with his dad, he's built just the three hanging in the shed. One, he says it isn't easy to find the perfect piece of wood. Plus, they aren't something you can really sell.
So then the person who might be using it isn't actually going to be able to afford it unless it's being sold as an art piece, which is kind of isn't the point, right?
And they require a lot of maintenance. But, you know, back in the day, people depended on them to get around.
Probably you would have had the time to take care of it. It was important. It's now important in a different way. I think it's important for the culture and ceremonial use more than anything.
That's not to say that they're just ceremonial, though.
This one's covered in pine tar and seal oil and blood and guts, and it's pretty beat up, and that's the way I like it. It looks good. It looks good that way. It looks like it gets used. Yes, it does.
Hammer's work gets interrupted by a group of students from Kluwak coming into the shed. The kids are there to learn about sustainable harvesting and the important sacrifices that trees and animals make so us humans can thrive.
Talking about something like a totem pole, we got to make sure that we're not only looking after the ones that we cut down and doing a good job to make sure that's why we make them look real pretty, because we don't want to kill something and have it, you know, just go to waste. So.
Celebration kicks off June 5th, and there's a stack of paddles to finish before then. In Kasan, I'm Jack Darrell.
Alaskans looking to invest in solar panels or other renewable energy infrastructure for their homes will likely have some new options in the next few years. The state is setting up a new so-called Green Bank that's aimed to help Alaskans keep their power costs down and speed the transition to renewable energy. But as Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, backers of the project are preaching patience.
The legislation creating Alaska's Green Bank hasn't even been signed into law yet, but Chris Rose, who has led the nonprofit Renewable Energy Alaska Project for two decades, is excited.
I think the Green Bank can actually play a pretty big role in helping people get upfront capital to do the kinds of projects that they want to do, but they just don't have that money.
It's not a new concept. States like Connecticut and Hawaii have been using green banks to encourage renewable energy development for years. Massachusetts just started one last year. And for now, it's hard to say what Alaska's program will look like. It's pretty early. But Rose says one goal is making it less risky to lend out cash for renewable energy projects, and in turn, making it cheaper and easier for people to get loans. And once a home or business owner has the money to invest up front, Rose says that unlocks a wealth of federal incentives, like large tax credits on things like solar panels, heat pumps, and weatherization.
But you can't get a tax incentive or a tax credit or a rebate from the federal government if you don't spend the money in the first place.
That takes different forms in different places. For instance, Hawaii's Green Bank, the Hawaii Green Infrastructure Authority, started by directly financing solar arrays on the roofs of low to moderate income households, renters, nonprofits, and small businesses, especially folks who didn't qualify for regular loans. Executive Director Gwen Yamamoto Lau says these days Hawaii's Green Bank doesn't even have to run credit checks anymore. That's thanks to its Green Energy Money Saver program. Essentially, it takes what you're currently paying for electricity, cuts it by at least 5%, and then splits the rest between your remaining power bill and a loan on new rooftop solar panels.
So they just continue paying their utility bill, and the utility then will transfer the loan payment to us.
She says that takes a lot of risk out of the equation for lenders. Your ability to repay the loan isn't based on your income, but rather based on how much energy you wind up saving. And there's lots of federal help out there, too. Green banks around the country got a major boost with the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act. Vice President Kamala Harris said at an event last month announcing $20 billion in green bank funding that the approach allows communities to determine what they need. And it's as good a time as any for Alaska to join the party, says Brian Butcher, the head of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, which will house the green bank.
In some of the other state green banks, we're seeing opportunities to match $1 from the green bank to $6 or $7 from different other areas, whether from the private sector or from other government entities.
And Butcher says Alaska's green bank likely won't be restricted to smaller projects like rooftop or small-scale solar.
I mean, I think we see this as an opportunity to have large projects on a commercial scale as well as potentially smaller projects.
But he says Alaskans should temper their expectations. He says the Green Bank won't be a silver bullet for the state's energy needs. It'll likely take the rest of the year just to stand up the Green Bank itself, and it's not totally clear when the first loan might be issued, but he says it's a step in the right direction.
This is going to be a good step forward to accomplish a lot of positive things. That's a good thing. But if the expectation is this does everything for everybody, like anything, I think we're going to fall short of that.
In the meantime, Butcher says the Housing Finance Agency is gearing up to distribute its share of a $125 million federal grant that's aimed at expanding rooftop and community solar projects for low-income and disadvantaged communities around the state. He says he expects funding to be available later this summer. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
A Kotzebue police sergeant has resigned after making racist comments on social media. Kotzebue Police Department announced Sergeant David Mike Cox resigned Thursday afternoon following an internal investigation. The announcement came only hours after KOTZ News reached out to the department about the racist comments Cox made a month ago on a Facebook page operated by a South Carolina law enforcement agency. In Cox's social media comments, he referred to two black suspects using a variation of the N-word and went on to use disparaging language about black people. As sergeant, Cox's job would have been involving supervising and training other law enforcement officers in Kotzebue, a community that is 85% not white. Kotzebue Police Department did not respond to a request for comment, but issued a press release saying that it is reviewing its social media policies. Kotzebue Police Chief Roger Rouse said in the release that KPD, quote, holds officers to the highest standard of conduct on and off duty, unquote, and takes matters of bias and prejudice seriously. And it's a bit cloudy in Juneau tonight with some isolated showers coming in before 7 p.m. and then rain likely throughout the night. It's also anticipated that throughout Saturday and Sunday it will be rainy with highs in the mid-40s. Monday is Memorial Day and rain is likely as well. And today in Juneau there are three cruise ships ported currently with the last one leaving at 10 p.m. Tomorrow the first ship out of four will arrive at 7 a.m. and the last ship leaves at 10 p.m. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson. Thanks so much for listening.